Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the 15-Minute Devotional, online video podcast series for Akron Alliance Fellowship Church in Akron, Ohio, and for listeners to Melvin Gaines' Faith Channel. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Melvin Gaines. This program, as always, is all about getting viewers and listeners into God's Word and staying in God's Word as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this particular program, we're going to be covering the daily two-year Bible plan reading for Wednesday, April the 24th, 2024. Our church, Akron Alliance Fellowship, encourages reading the two-year Bible reading plan because I believe it provides the greatest success for a person who desires to read the entire Bible. And the two-year Bible plan, of course, covers a two-year period of time. In our devotional here, which is going to take about 25 up to 30 minutes, probably shouldn't be that long, but our program is going to cover the passages for today as we normally do and make brief commentary about the passages. But when you participate daily in the two-year Bible reading plan, it normally covers about a 7 to 10 minute period of time of reading scripture, followed by an additional 5 to 8 minutes of time going over those passages in prayer and meditation over what you've read. And that's why it takes about a 15-minute period of time each day to go through it. That's why we call the program the 15-minute devotional. We encourage all participants to follow this pattern as they develop the best habits for reading and studying God's Word and meditating on it, for that matter. And of course, as you grow in your love for the Lord and grow in the love for reading His Word, you're going to wind up reading, of course, more than 15 minutes a day. But as of right now, if you're trying to establish a pattern of developing good reading, this is the way I believe you can go about it and do it very successfully. You can get downloadable copies of the two-year Bible reading plan by going to our website, akronalliance.org, then selecting the links tab, and then click on the tab that says two-year Bible reading plan. Today's verses that we're going to cover in the plan for today are for Wednesday, April 24th, are Job 28, verse 1, through 29, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, Psalm chapter 42, verses 9 to 11, and Proverbs 14, verses 1 and 2. That's the reading for today. Let's go ahead and get started, and without any further ado, let's get into what the Word has to say to us. Let's go into to the Lord with prayer right now. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for calming us down now and hearing us speak to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the teaching that comes from it. May we always be consistent in looking at your Word and studying it. May we always have a desire to hear more of what you have to say. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, we're going to be covering basically two chapters of Job here, 28 verse 1 through to 29, 17. This is more of the ongoing dialogue that's taking place between Job and his three friends that is involving what is really going to kind of turn into something that I had not considered before, but I'm going to share with you what my thoughts are as we look at this. It's important to look at how over the course of time, and we're seeing this here in this particular section of Job, where in this particular section, Job is the only one speaking. He is basically providing justification for where he is, but he's also giving us information that is going to show how he is really trying to answer the critics that he has right now, the friends who are criticizing him right now. And I'm just going to share with you that some of the criticism perhaps maybe warranted. I'm going to share why I think so when we conclude the reading here. Let's go through to Job 28, verse 1. And this is something where he's sharing about godly wisdom and wisdom itself and where does it come from. And this information is accurate. There's nothing wrong with what Job is saying here. But again, keep in mind, there's a lot of justification going on here. And we still got to remember that even though Job is viewed perfect by most standards that we look at here, he's still a subject to sin just like anyone else. And so that's where we're going to get into that a little bit later. Let's start with this section here, chapter 28, verse 1. We read from the New Living Translation, by the way, just to please follow along your version. People know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth as they search in the dark for ore. They sink a mine shaft into the earth far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes swinging back and forth. Verse 5, food is grown on the earth above, but down below the earth is melted as by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and the dust contains gold. There are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures, no lion has ever set his paw there. Verse 9, people know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Verse 18, coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the purest gold. Verse 20, but do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we've heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found. Verse 23, God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the wind should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out a path for the lighting. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Okay, let's go over to chapter 29, verse 1. And this is where he's making a defense. Verse 1, Job continued speaking. I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me and I walked safely through the darkness. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. My steps were awash in cream and the rocks gushed olive oil for me. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and took my place among the honored leaders. The young stepped aside when they saw me, and even the aged rose in respect at my coming. The princes stood in silence and put their hands over their mouths. The highest officials of the city stood quietly, holding their tongues in respect. All who heard me praised me. All who saw me spoke well of me, for I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me. I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. Verse 16. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and plucked their victims from their teeth. Okay. That's the passage, Job 28, verse 1 through 29:17. It's not the entire chapter 29, so I said that erroneously before. It's through most of chapter 29, but I want to point some things out here about this particular section. First of all, Job is correct in 28, chapter 28, about how important it is for you to recognize that you just can't find wisdom anywhere. We have to go to the one source of wisdom, and that's God. God is the one who reveals to us the wisdom and knowledge that we need to be able to, frankly, have greater understanding of who he is. Now, in saying that, Job is correct in making that statement, but when we go to chapter 29, we've got a lot of I's coming out, and we're recognizing that even though Job is trying to make a defense about who he is, and some of that is, you look at verse 4 in 29, chapter 29, when I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. Well, that's God's friendship, but does that mean that you really truly know who God is? And we have to understand that even in the midst of our calling ourselves or saying to ourselves, we're doing what's righteous, we need to recognize that we don't have anything without what God has done for us. He's provided for us. He's cared for us. He is indeed, when God speaks about how Job is being righteous, it doesn't necessarily mean he's being righteous with a complete understanding of who God is. He's taking a lot of credit for the things that he's done here in chapter 29, and the fact that everybody gave him praise. Everybody spoke well of him. That's what it says in verse 11 of chapter 29. But he's really not drawing where all that is coming from back to where it needs to go. It needs to go directly to the Lord. So I just want to share this with you for the sake of making sure you understand that there's a teaching that's going to be going on here as we get further and further along, where, yes, the three friends who criticized Job, they've got some points that they're making, but they're not necessarily correct, and some of it is folly. But I think what they're observing is Job and the man that he is. And I think that sometimes maybe they're looking at him in a way of saying, like, well, Job, you're just kind of full of yourself a little bit here. Maybe there is something to what's going on in your life, and maybe you need to learn something else as well. Now, ultimately, God's going to provide that wisdom for Job. And as we look at this, it's a lesson for us. We need to recognize that the sovereign nature of God, he's still trying to teach all of us. There are some things that we're still trying to learn about this life we live in. And just when we think we have it together, we really don't. And I think that this is the lesson we need to pull from this. No matter how much you've accomplished, no matter how much you've done, the good things that you've done, remember, we need to recognize that in Scripture, it tells us sometimes there are times when, frankly, the things that we do are just filthy rags. They really don't amount to anything. Especially if you're not giving credit where credit is due. God is the one who deserves the credit for everything we have, the things that we're doing, and I think that that's the lesson to take away in this particular passage. Okay, you're free to comment on this and look at what's going on, because it starts off beautifully in 28 about the wonder of creation, how God made many things, but and where can wisdom be found? God is the creator. He is the one who knows exactly what goes into everything that we see and how it is done. When we go and dig it up and extract it, we know that that's the wisdom of God that's coming through as far as how he has created many things. And we get our wisdom directly from him, not from the things that are in the earth, not from making discoveries, looking at certain things. At the end of the day, the wisdom comes directly from him. He provides it for us. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and prayerfully, when we established this format a little while ago, it's been a little while, we had a few different shows about this, it gives you the desire to want to read the scriptures more. We're reading excerpts from scripture each day to get you into the word and stay in the word, but it should give you the desire, a heart's desire, to really want to seek more and learn more about what you're reading, because at the end of the day, context really does matter. It's kind of hard to get context when you're only looking at a certain number of passages. And right now we're going to be looking at 8 more passages, 8 more verses in scripture covering 2 Corinthians, Psalms, and the Proverbs. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. And again, this is Paul speaking, and this is just a section of scripture. I want to cover it. Verse 12, when I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. Verse 13, but I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. But thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. So who is Paul addressing this to? The Corinthian church. He's mentioning this. He went to Troas to preach. The Lord gave him an opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, learn about Jesus. And Titus, who had been at the Corinth church, he was preaching and speaking there. And Paul was kind of upset that he didn't have a chance to get a report about what was going on. But he managed to run into Titus when he went over to Macedonia, and he was there. And so he made the report. And remember, the Corinthian church was dealing with someone who was causing a great deal of dissension. There were issues there where he was not following the Lord the way he should have been. And this is where Titus gave correction, and this person apparently repented. And that was the good news. That was the good news that he was able to share with Paul, but he did so in Macedonia. He wanted to get a good report from the church. He wanted to hear what was going on. But you're going to see this. What you're seeing here is essentially a concern for the brothers and sisters of the Corinthian church, a concern for all people to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was making sure that the church was being uplifted by making sure that there were people coming through that were doing what? Sharing the truth, spreading the news about the truth. That has always been the concern that Paul has had. And he is making sure that people are still following Jesus Christ. And I love what he says at the end of verse 14. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. You know, when something doesn't smell very good, you don't want to be around it. But when you're describing the word of God as a sweet smelling perfume, it's something that people invite, people should want to have around them. And so that is essentially what we're referring to here. And I'm going to just go outside of what we normally read. We normally read through to what the designated reading is, but I want to share verse 15 because that's pretty important here in looking at what Paul is referring to. Our lives are Christ-like, a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. That's pretty important for us to see too. We know that the word of Jesus Christ is indeed this sweet-smelling fragrance, this thing that people have a desire to want to hear, if they are inclined to want to hear that message. If they are not inclined to hear that message, then what we're saying is folly and foolishness to them, because people have made up their own minds about how they want to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to share that very quickly with you to recognize that, yes, the way we should be living, the word that we're sharing, we need to emulate that same fragrance, that sweet-smelling sound that in a description of how we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. People have to choose if they want to be part of that or not. And the word, if they're inviting the word, fantastic. If they have a heart for God, fantastic. If they truly want to live for the Lord, wonderful. But recognize that not everybody's going to accept what the word is. Not everybody's going to accept what the message is. Let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verses 9 through 11. This particular section of Psalms is actually referring to the place in Scripture where it's about Exodus, when the people are walking about and moving now outside of the land of Egypt. They're going to this promised land. They were in the process of going to this promised land. And we're going to see some things here that are essentially, as you probably recall in Scripture, not everybody who went through the wilderness survived. They because of their hearts, they were truly rebellious. They really didn't care. Some of them were complaining about going back to Egypt, frankly, because they thought that they were better off there, which is an affront to God, frankly, when they were saying those very things. Let's read the passage, verses chapter 42, Psalm 42, verses 9 through 11. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Verse 11, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now, there's a lesson that's being taught here. If the focus is on trusting God through all kinds of adversity, through all kinds of taunting, through all kinds of difficulty, at the end of the day, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can't be fair weather Christians, fair weather people. We have to recognize that when things are difficult, when we think everything is dark, we think about that we're in grief, we're in difficult situations, God has not forgotten us. That's a lie from Satan. And sometimes we have to come back and say, you know what, Lord, it is well with my soul. What I'm going through, I appreciate everything that you're doing for me to help me. And I'm going to still turn around and put my hope in the Lord and give him praise. And that's what verse 11 is focusing on right here. And as you know, there were a lot of difficulties that the Jewish nation, the Israelites, were going through when they were in the wilderness. Wilderness means just that. There's not a lot there to look forward to. It's a barren place. There's not much happiness that you can get out of that. But those who remain faithful to God are the ones who came through all of those experiences. And that's where we need to always park ourselves. Let's park ourselves in a place where we are giving praise to God in spite of what is happening to us. Fair weather Christianity is not going to cut it today. We cannot pick and choose when God brings adversity into our lives. It's going to happen regardless of how we feel about it, but we need to have the attitude about giving God the praise anyway, because we all know, hopefully we know, that we go through these things as seasons of life. At the end of the day, we have not reached our final destination. Our final destination, frankly, is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will help us to recognize the value of eternity when we're with him, and making sure that we're sharing with others about that very thing as well too. We haven't reached our final destination. Our final destination is with Christ, when we recognize, because we believe in him, trust in him with our very lives, what he did on the cross for us. That's what we need to be making sure that we're recognizing. So we're going to go through tough times on occasion, but at the end of the day, we need to recognize that God is the one who has already claimed the victory for us because we believe in him as Lord and Savior. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? There may be legitimate things that do that, but you're still going to put your hope in the Lord. You're still going to praise him because he's your Lord and Savior. He is your God, and he loves and knows more about you than you probably know about yourself, frankly, for what it's worth. So, interesting passage to look at there, but I hope that you see the end result of that is that you give praise to God for who he is and what he has done for you. Amen. Let's go to the last section, Proverbs 14, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 14, 1 and 2. And once again, this has to do with this whole thing about wisdom and foolishness. Once again, is being addressed. But I want you to understand what this passage is doing here, because we're talking about, it goes back and forth about what wisdom and foolishness represent. Let's start with verse 1, Proverbs 14, verse 1. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. Now, what it's referring to here in this first, in verse 1 of Proverbs 14, about a wise woman building her home, it's not about physically constructing the house. It's not building it from the foundation. It's more about a woman has a responsibility in a home of a family about making sure that the tone is set, that people are recognizing the importance of the wisdom of God, and she is making sure that that is being instilled within that family unit. And the contrast to that is in verse 2, that those who follow the right path fear the Lord. The ones who are fearing the Lord, there's the one setting the tone for all of us who truly love the Lord and want to hear more from him. But those who take the wrong path, they don't love the Lord. They despise him. They would much rather live for themselves. They would much rather live selfishly. A foolish woman tears it down with her own hands, tears down a home when they are choosing not to use the wisdom of God in how they go about their business. And there are examples of that in Scripture. We can talk about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was the one who was living for the Lord as well, too, and Abraham was in the household. A good wife is a helpmeet to the husband, so we recognize that. Was Sarah perfect? No. That's not the point of this. The point of this is recognizing that we all fall short of God's glory because we all sin. But at the end of the day, we need to recognize that those who remain faithful to the Lord, they're going to be recognized. They're when they take the path of making sure that they are truly supporting the household, the husbands, they're living in such a manner where they're honoring the Lord, they will be recognized for that. It's a wise thing to do. And that's what's necessary here. I think that when we look at this and look at this passage here, it's easy to make conclusions, well, so-and-so wasn't such a great person. Well, we need to also come back and say, well, who are we to say that? I mean, this is the problem that Job is going to be having here that we've just kind of read about, where he's saying, yeah, I did all these things. I was all this great person. I did all these things in the community. They recognized who I was. Well, God is the one who deserves the praise, not you. And at the end of the day, that's where we have, that's where wisdom, a person who's wise is going to recognize that. And those who are foolish are going to diminish what God has contributed in their lives. So I want you to see that for what it really is. And you're welcome to go over these passages and make comments. But I thank you again for joining us today, because we've gone through the readings and now we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for your presence today. Lord, bless us as we seek your word. We want greater wisdom. We want greater knowledge. We want more understanding of what you're trying to teach us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. The way you communicate with us is through your word, and we thank you for doing that. We thank you for giving it to us in black and white, that we can see it for ourselves. Bless us and keep us, Lord, at this time, and we want to give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today for this 15-minute devotional program. God bless you and take care of yourselves. We'll see you around the corner, and we'll see you next time.